Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our special guest is Mojca Marsh, an amazing social media consultant from Slovenia of Super Spicy Media, and we're going to talk about social media presence and the visuals you can use there. And before we get started, I'd love to mention that today's episode is brought to you by Remark, fast and professional formatting for your reports and proposals. Go to remark.io, remark.io, and use the coupon code UIBREAKFAST for 20% lifetime discount. Hey, Mojca.
Hey!
Thank you for making it today. Thanks for listening to the advertisement.
That was fun. I love Remark, so totally support that.
That's great. So we're going to start with a short questionnaire. I'm going to ask 5 questions about yourself.
Mm-hmm, perfect.
So Mojca, what do you do for a living?
I am a social media consultant, social media expert, and I help companies maintain their social media presence and help them grow their business with Facebook ads.
Fantastic. How did you get to this wonderful situation when you can teach others to do stuff?
I lost my job. So I got in this wonderful situation by not so wonderful event. So the advertising agency I worked at before, they fired me because we just didn't get along anymore. And that's where I decided that I don't want to work for anyone else anymore. And I just started my own company and it has been growing ever since. So it definitely is a wonderful situation.
Fantastic. What does your typical day look like?
It is a little bit different than most people's typical work day. So I get up at 7 a.m. because it's not as early as I would want, but I mean, I try. So I get up at 7 a.m., walk my dog, make breakfast. I work for 1 hour and then I go straight to the gym where I work out for 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. I have my lunch when I come home and then I pretty much work all the time with a few breaks here and there, and I walk my dog in the evening, so I take a short break, and then when I come back, I work again until about 11 p.m., maybe midnight. Yesterday, I worked until 1 a.m., which is not optimal for me, but yeah, I try to get 7 hours of sleep every night. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but I'm trying.
I didn't quite get when do you leave, actually. Like, when do you have a personal time within all this tight schedule?
I usually read in the morning, and that's where I consider that my personal time. And in the evening, oh, I forgot to mention that me and my fiance, we watch different series. And in the evening, we take maybe 1 hour, 1 hour and a half of free time to eat dinner, talk a little bit, maybe drink some wine. He drinks whiskey, and we watch an episode and that's it. But we do take weekends off, so we don't work Saturday, we don't work Sunday, so we take time for ourselves and enjoy each other's company.
That's cool. I'm happy that resonates with me a lot, because I'm an evening person, and also working with people from the States, you kind of have to be an evening person a little bit at least.
Absolutely. So like, I'm used to having meetings at 7 p.m. or even 11 p.m. if that's needed. But I love working in the evenings, and I basically love working in the morning as well, because none of my clients is up. So I have time to focus on the work without getting emails every second. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to distribute my work throughout the day, so I enjoy it and I'm as productive as possible.
Mojca, what do you enjoy the most and the least about your work?
I enjoy working with clients and I don't enjoy working with clients. So it has both pluses and minuses. So I enjoy working with clients because I enjoy just the process of growing their business with Facebook ads. I enjoy when I implement their first campaign, when we get the first results going. But I don't enjoy working with clients when we don't see those results. So I've had a couple of instances where we worked so hard for 1 month and we didn't see any results, and we almost gave up on everything until it kicked off and the second month everything was well. So I think that it's just working with clients. I do enjoy working with clients. And then on the other hand, sometimes it gets really, really tough.
I hear you so well. What is your next big thing?
Oh, I don't know. That's the problem. So what I'm trying to do right now, the end of the year is coming close, and I'm trying to double down on what worked in 2016 and what to work on 2017. What I did, what did happen maybe a few months ago is that, I got so many clients, from just different sides, and, I stopped working on my products and growing, you know, just because I have a couple of products, and I stopped doing all of that. So what I'm trying to do more is just work more on my products, maybe do a video course. So that's going to be my next big thing. And then just scaling as I go, trying to hire a few people to help me out with my client work so I can focus on other things. But hopefully I'll get to that in 2017.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a mini social media agency under your brand.
Hopefully. I'm trying to go with a boutique one because I don't like big agencies, but just a couple of people to help me with client work so I can really focus on the things that matter and help more people.
Sounds great. So now let's talk about main topic. But before, let's elaborate a little bit more about our sponsor, which is Remark. And Remark is fast and professional formatting for your reports and proposals. Presentation is super important, but formatting tools can be a nightmare. With Remark, you can focus on making your content more valuable, and your presentation will be perfect every time. Try it for yourself today. Go to remark.io with a Q and use the coupon code UIBREAKFAST to receive a 20% lifetime discount. I love reading through the ads when they advertise something good. So, Moitsa, you're a social media consultant. And I would love to hear your paradigm of social media as of today. Like the way we have it and the way you can improve your business by doing that. Because it's not like an automated flow of stuff that people usually post. It's much more intricate and personal. What's your take on this?
Yeah, people think that it's an automated workflow. People think that it can automate social media and they will just grow their business automatically, but it doesn't work that way. So if you want to succeed today, if you want to grow your business with social media, you have to act differently because everyone's on social media. Every company, every consultant, every freelancer tries to do social media and grow their business with it. So you have to work a little bit more if you want to succeed, if you do want to see those great results. And that means, for example, the one big differentiator between you and your competitors can be your personality, as you mentioned yourself. So I think that just including your personality into the mix, including it in your social media updates, sharing your personal photos, sharing your personal stories, that can put you 10 steps ahead of your competitors because your audience and your prospects will be able to connect with you on a more personal level, which is absolutely needed in today's market because, like I said, it's just flooded with consultants and freelancers. And if you want to be different and if you want your clients to choose you because of your personality and because of your great work, you have to be able to show that and to connect with them on a more personal level.
I think we have people of two kinds in our audience. Ones are eager to promote their personal brand. And I think it's a little bit easier because you just behave as a human. But what do you do if you represent a product, a SaaS product or like another company of sorts? How do you build a personable, you know, presence of, for something with a logo instead of a picture?
You can absolutely, for example, one thing you can do is share some behind the scenes photo or maybe share a photo of yourself with a story. And, you know, when you can post that photo on your Facebook page and write a story of how you came up with that product. What do you want or who do you want to help with that product? What problem will it solve? Just your personal story, how you came up with that. And people will resonate with those kinds of post definitely a lot more than just cold posts. So it's not just about changing your profile picture to your face. Even if you do have a logo type, that's okay. But just mixing in a little bit of personal content, like I said, sharing personal stories or behind the scenes stories. So share with people how your work, For example, if it's 11 p.m. and you're still working on the product because you want to make it good, you really want to help people, share a photo of, you know, your evening and just show your audience what you're working on and make it a little bit more personal.
Yeah. So like a cup of coffee and saying like burning midnight light.
There you go. That's a perfect example. And I think each and every one of us is doing this. So we can use that as a perfect example and everyone can do that today and post a photo of a coffee.
Great. So, since we are kind of design focused here, there is a number of various research studies showing that, for example, human faces perform the best or something like that. Can you give us a condensed version of what you know about social media images?
It's absolutely the same with social media. So human faces, if you are able to include human faces in your communication, whether that's your photo of or photo of your customer or whatever, just do that all the time because it works like magic. So what I always try to communicate with my clients is that when it comes to social media, there is this beautiful paradox. So the more you blend in, the more you stand out. So for example, when people go on Facebook, they hate seeing those cold ads, for example, just, you know, images of, I don't know, stock images are a perfect example. So they hate seeing stock images. But when you turn things around and maybe share a photo of yourself, you blend in with their news feed. So they see updates from their friends. And then in the middle of everything, they see a face they don't know and you attract their attention. And then they look at that update and they engage with it and they see, oh, okay, so that's Moitza from Super Spicy Media was what this she has to say. So the more you are able to blend in with sharing faces, with sharing photos of your customers or photos of yourself, the better your engagement rate will be, the better, I mean, people will connect with you on a more personal level and people will just engage with your content more and you'll be able to reach more people.
All right. There's place for some, you know, design elements like combination of a text and like few words. So like handcrafted banners for Twitter and for Facebook, for example. What does work for them and what does not from your experience?
So with Facebook, you can, and Twitter as well, you can definitely include images or visuals with a little bit of text. I did some A-B tests. I always do A-B tests with my clients, so what works and what doesn't work. And what I found out is that just using a couple of keywords or one powerful phrase, short but powerful, that works. But if you go all in and maybe share or just design a full sentence on there or anything like that, that will not work because people prefer seeing photos or more like of visual content. I don't know, like I said, faces or pictures of coffee or anything like that with a short but powerful phrase. What they don't like seeing is just full sentences or a designed image that is nothing but text, and they hate seeing that. So that doesn't work. But like I said, what does work is if you are promoting a product, write a powerful sentence. So for example, one example of that powerful sentence is maybe communicate the painful problem that you solve on that image. Three words, nothing much, and use that as a visual element, and that will take you as far as you get.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a catching power in the words themselves, like especially if they're well designed.
Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure that everyone, I mean, it's not, as far as social media goes, it's not really hard to design images that are eye-catchy. So everyone can do that.
If we elaborate on the technical requirements, what would you say should they be, you know, landscape-ish or portrait oriented, which like, or square or whatsoever, maybe for different networks?
When it comes to Facebook, I always go with landscape. It's the format that Facebook users and Facebook itself as a platform prefers. When it comes to Twitter, again, I use landscape photos mostly, but squares do work on Twitter, especially on mobile. But when it comes to, for example, Instagram, it's square.
Right. I didn't ask that one question. That's kind of obvious.
Yeah, that's obvious. I mean, you can definitely, for example, upload landscape photos or portrait photos on Instagram as well, but just squares work best on Instagram. But then again, when it comes to Pinterest, it's a totally different story. On Instagram, portrait photo rules. And for example, if you have those DIY updates on Pinterest, a lot of people post, you know, those long portrait photos on Pinterest. That goes a very long way. So it's different, but when it comes to Facebook and Twitter, which are the most popular two social media networks, I just stick with landscape photos.
I would like to hear your ideas how, you know, a typical business that doesn't produce, you know, interior design or styling or anything like that, how could they use an Instagram presence, or should they?
Well, when it comes to social media, it is so hard because, like I said, if you're not working within the fashion industry or interior design or anything design related, Instagram might not be the best social media network for you. And I would rather have your listeners focus on one or maximum two social media networks than spreading themselves thin, going all in on all social media networks, including Instagram. So if, for example, you have a SaaS company, or if you, I don't know, you have a company that's not design related, I wouldn't go on Instagram, not at first, but I would rather improve your social media strategy on Facebook and then on Twitter. And then later on, maybe I would tackle Instagram once I have those two covered and once I have been working on them for a couple of months and establish a good presence there.
Could you give us an overview, maybe like a couple sentences, for Twitter and Facebook? What is the ideal social media presence there? From your understanding. So, like, from my understanding, it's a mix of content marketing, like articles and stuff that you publish, some occasional personal blurbs or something, but I have like very skewed personal opinion. Maybe you have something better for us.
So what I have actually like an outline of a strategy I try to implement with each and every one of my clients. So the strategy, you can implement that strategy into each and every social media network there is. And it consists of three different types of posts. One is value, one is personality, and the second one is promotion. So when it comes to value, you have to be able to communicate the problems that you solve. You have to be able to give people value so they have a reason to follow you or to like your Facebook page. So for example, when I work with Facebook ads, when it comes to value, when I'm trying to share value, I share content about, for example, how to create a perfect Facebook advertising campaign, how to promote your webinar, how to target people with Facebook ads. And that's the value part of strategy. The second pillar of your social media strategy should be personality. And we talked about this before. So when it comes to personality, just inject your strategy with a lot of it. And that means sharing your personal posts, sharing personal stories. When you travel to conferences, for example, share photos of your travel, maybe share some behind the scenes photos, show people what you're currently working on, and be very, very personal. Share your personal opinion so people that are like-minded are able to connect with you. And the third pillar or the third part of your strategy should be promotion. And everyone needs to do that. I mean, we're doing social media for, we definitely have a goal when we do social media. And that's, for example, selling more books or getting more clients. So you have to be able to promote those services effectively. When it comes to promotion, just make sure that you communicate the problems that you solve. So talk a little bit about the painful problem people are experiencing. Make them hurt. Talk about that a lot. And then offer a solution to the problem. And that might be a book, that might be a SaaS, that might be a service, a great service that you offer, but you have to be able to promote yourself. But that said, when it comes to value personality and promotion, you definitely need to do more of value and personality before you do promotion. A lot of people do the opposite, and they just, when they open up a Facebook page or they open up a Twitter account, all they do is just promote their services, promote their products, and nothing else. But you have to turn that around a little bit and establish trust first and communicate your authority before you try to promote your services, because you need to be able, people need to trust you first, because if you don't have that trust going, if people don't trust you, you won't get the sale. So communicate that value, communicate that personality, and then when you have that cover, go all in with the promotion side of things.
A book comes to mind by Gary Vaynerchuk, which is called Jab, 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 Right Hook. And in that regard, a right hook is that promotion thing. When you already prep people with and make them loyal by being yourself and providing help, only then can you ask them for something. And that works like across any business, any media, and any kind of marketing, like around the world. So.
Absolutely. But it's funny, like you said, it works for everything, but people forget it when it comes to social media. They just think that, okay, well, I opened up my Facebook page, now I can start promoting things, and all they do is promote things. And when it's not effective, they say, okay, this is Facebook's algorithm's fault. It's not my fault. And they say that Facebook is not effective, and they leave Facebook and miss a great opportunity. But like I said, if you turn things around, if you jab first and offer that right hook later, you're definitely going to be more successful.
Absolutely. Like we all observe an influx of bots on Twitter and other social media. They auto-favorite, auto-follow, and do other crazy things. What's your take on that?
Oh my God, I hate it. this is the least effective approach ever. My clients always ask me, so should we do this to get more followers and to get more likes? And the answer is absolutely not. You will not get more, maybe you'll get more followers, but those followers will not be quality followers. They would just be some bots maybe, that don't care what you write. So it's just not effective, and I absolutely would not recommend it in any way as possible. Like, it's better to invest maybe 1 hour a day, or at least 30 minutes a day, or if you really don't have the time, 1 hour a week into your social media strategy and build a really great community around your Facebook page, around your Twitter profile, and work on that, because that way you'll be more successful. But if you, take an approach, an automated approach, you'll not get any results, and it's just your time wasted, and your reputation may suffer as well.
Mm-hmm. Frankly speaking, I've been having some results with automatic following, but exactly it follows the jab, 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 right hook principles again, because it's a profile cushioned with great content and freebies all around the place. But I do use the automatic following thing just to increase exposure. Maybe that's bad karma, but I've seen some results.
Yeah, you'll see the results. Like, I haven't been able, I worked with a lot of clients, and a lot of them have used the same approach, but just weren't getting any decent results. So we just left that strategy altogether. But it might work for other people. It just hasn't worked for any of my clients.
Let's imagine you're a busy founder and you don't have time to go in yourself. How do you find that right person and train them to represent your voice and your personality? Because I think it's totally hard to teach someone speak your voice, even if it's not the problem of the language. It's absolutely the problem of personality and everything.
Absolutely. So I think like one big red flag when it comes to hiring social media managers to take care of your social media profiles is when social media managers don't ask you a lot of questions, because if they don't ask you a lot of questions, that means that they're not really interested in your voice. They don't really want to get to know your company. They just want to earn more money, maybe. I don't know. So when it comes to hiring social media managers, if they don't ask a lot of questions, then that's not a good person. So they need to be able to get to know you. So for example, I have many Skype calls before we even start collaborating, because I ask them about their company's philosophy. I ask them about their products. They take me behind their business. I read through their whole webpage just to get a sense of their communication, so that I'm able to take that company voice and implement it into their social media profiles, because there has to be a unified voice throughout all communications, whether that's email, whether that's your webpage or social media, like Facebook page or Twitter profile. So they have to be able to ask a lot of questions. And if they don't do that, that's the number one red flag and you should just go away. But I think that when it comes to social media consultants, small companies or even social media experts that don't have anyone hired, that just work for themselves, those are usually the best hires, because they really take their time, ask a lot of questions, try to get to know you as much as possible, so they are able to just do a great job on social media and communicate your voice and make it even more effective.
When you're developing your own voice, for example, I've been doing that for years and just trying to speak in my own voice, and I suddenly realize that I feel comfortable doing so. But I think there must be some criteria that you can use to guide yourself to define that voice. Let's say, you know, friendly versus formal, you know, businessy versus something else. Do you have a system that could help us, you know, define our voice, maybe somehow guide us when we define the voice? Because it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to fixate.
Yeah, it's not easy, and it's just an ever-going process, and you never get to the end of it, because the voice keeps developing and developing. And when I work with clients, I try to talk to them a lot and try to encourage them. So for example, if you're writing an email copy or a copy for your web page, really just try to be yourself. Also, when it comes to social media, just try to be yourself. Write down your updates in a way that you would write your personal updates on your Facebook profile, and that works like magic. When I took that approach as a solo founder, my Facebook communication and engagement increased dramatically. So when I opened up my Facebook page and I decided to write a new update or to write several updates for the following week, I try to imagine that I'm writing those updates for my personal Facebook profile, so it's not my company page, and I try to be really friendly, and I think that my voice just came out naturally. When I try to just get rid of the fact that I am doing this for my business, and I really try to say, you know, this is just, try to imagine that this is for my personal Facebook profile or my personal Twitter profile. This will not go to my business page. And when I did that technique, and when I tried that technique, I think that my natural voice, my personal voice, just came out more naturally. And each and every of my Facebook posts was more natural, and people responded to that positively. They engaged with it and they commented on it, and my following just grew.
That's fantastic. Great to hear, because it doesn't come so easy as you describe, really.
Yeah, I know. And as I said before, I think that our voices just, you know, it's a never-ending process. It keeps developing year after year, and it keeps changing. And I think that's a natural thing to occur. So even if you are having problems right now, sadly, but you probably won't get rid of it, but you can make it easier on yourself with techniques like I just mentioned.
And practice absolutely makes perfect in that regard. You just feel more comfortable. Like when you start doing something on a certain platform, it's inevitable that you feel like a newbie and like an idiot almost, you know, just posting somewhere you don't know how it works.
Yeah, and it's a learning curve, but it gets easier with time.
Absolutely. There's it's applicable to any writing, actually. For example, Nathan Barry's favorite advice is to write for a single person. Like, imagine your brother, your friend that you're explaining things to, and try to write for them. And also, I recollect J.D. Graham's article that I read lately, that when you're struggling to write something, write microcopy for your SAS, for example, and you're trying to explain people something, just when you tap your colleague on their back and say, like, how would I explain this and that? And whenever you say that, that would come in a, you know, simple language already. So yeah. Just take these words that you would use to describe it in very, very, very plain English.
Yeah, yeah. And I use a similar approach when I try to explain things to my subscribers. So they respond to me a lot with, we're not all tech savvy, for example, and they come up with questions that I wouldn't think of before, because I thought that was, I mean, that's natural to me when it comes to Facebook ads, for example. And when they ask me specific questions and I try to really explain that in a human and natural manner, that's when my voice comes out. So I really, I often go back to my sent emails and just see what kind of language I use with those people. And then I try to implement that language into all platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to get your opinion about what platform is more important, Facebook or Twitter? Because I'm probably a Twitter fan, so I kind of get where Twitter is at, but I don't get how to use Facebook for my business, because I can see my business partners, you know, babies there, and I'm just totally confused.
So, I'm all up for Facebook. When it comes to, I mean, Facebook and Twitter are two different social media networks. It's comparing apples and oranges. But if you would say to me that today I have to pick one social media network I will have to stick with to the rest of my life, I would pick Facebook.
That would be a hard choice.
It would be hard. Absolutely. But I would pick Facebook. I don't know why. I know that I'm getting better results with Facebook because more people are on Facebook. I feel like Twitter is slowly dying away because Twitter doesn't know what to do right now. They have all these different competitors. They haven't been updating much. They haven't released anything drastically new that would improve our lives. So I would definitely stick to Facebook, but I know that some people aren't comfortable with Facebook, and that's okay. So if you're not comfortable with Facebook, just stick to Twitter. But I personally prefer Facebook because I think that I reach a broader audience there. And even if I don't reach a broader audience there, I always have another chance with Facebook ads where I can just invest a couple of dollars and definitely reach a broader audience there. So I would stick to Facebook. I vote Facebook.
Okay, cool. I know you're a guru of Facebook ads and you wrote books on that, et cetera, et cetera. Would you recap your, you know, top mantras when it comes to Facebook advertising? How to use it to achieve best results? Because when people try to promote their product directly on the ads, they don't get good results. What's the best way to use them then?
So this is the number one mistake they do, what you just described. So people open up their Facebook advertising account, and they say, oh, wow, now I have Facebook advertising account. I can do Facebook ads. Yes, I'm going to start promoting my product. They create their first campaign, target their supposedly target audience, because not a lot of people know who to target because they're overwhelmed by all the possibilities Facebook Advertising Manager has to offer. And they start their campaign. I don't know, 5 days pass. They get no results and they're like, okay, Facebook ads doesn't work. Bye bye. this is a typical example of a typical client I work with. But if you want to make your Facebook ads effective, you have to approach it differently. So you have to turn things around a little bit and start by promoting value, promoting lead magnets, and maybe doing things differently, for example, by growing your email list or getting more webinar attendees. So communicating that value and giving free value so people start trusting you. And once they trust you, once you have them on your email list, once they have read, I don't know, 3 to 5 of your blog posts, you can retarget them with Facebook ads, with a product or a service. And that's a more powerful targeting, and it's more effective advertising, because when you promote products to people that already know you, that you have an established relationship with, you are going to be more effective because those people will know you. It will be a qualified audience. But a lot of people do the mistake of making their first campaign be about their product. They're targeting an unknown audience. And when the ads are not effective, they blame Facebook for it. So try to approach things differently by creating some sort of value, sharing your blog posts, I don't know, advertising your webinar, and then advertise your product to those people who have read your blog post, who have seen your webinar, and who know you already.
So just to recap what you just said, let's imagine a product funnel. So you can use ads to fill in the top of your funnel, but this should be absolutely low-touch, free, attractive content, like what we call a lead magnet. Or yeah, we can use ads to further retarget those people who already way invested in your content down the road in the funnel.
Absolutely. That's the best approach and the most effective approach, even for someone that's just starting out.
Mm-hmm. Besides your own book, what would you recommend people to read on the topic of social media? And you are super technical on Facebook ads as a technology, but maybe some inspirational and more ideological books that would help people shape their social media presence.
It's hard to find that kind of content on internet or anywhere else. I love to follow John Loomer, for example. John Loomer is also very, very technical. You can find his blog on johnloomer.com. But when he describes those technical things when it comes to Facebook ads, you get tons of different ideas on how to implement it, because he gives a lot of example of his own personal examples of the campaigns that he's running and the results he has been able to achieve. So, for example, when a new feature comes out, he tests it right away and then writes a long and lengthy blog post about it, describing the techniques, describing the technicalities about how Facebook does this. And then he gives a couple of his personal examples, how he implemented that, what kind of results he achieved, and what he recommends that you do. So I think that's the best resource on the internet about Facebook advertising.
That's great. I think your advice is different from other people, because you also have a ton of clients and you do, you know, tests and actual practical campaigns with them. Would you mind to recap a couple most interesting stories or A/B testing takeaways learned from your client work?
Yeah. So, for example, I work with a SaaS company right now. I'm not sure. I will not mention it, but a lot of people know the company. But we started with promotional ads as well. And it worked great because we retargeted people that already know us, but then suddenly, you know, that audience gets exhausted. Even if that's a big business or a smaller business, you will exhaust your the audience that you currently have. So if you're retargeting, that audience will definitely get exhausted. And then as a matter of next step, we were trying to scale our operations and reach new people and get them into our funnel. So what we did, and this is a very practical example and it works every time, and I'm implementing the same technique with pretty much all of my clients right now, is what we did was we created a lookalike audience. And a lookalike audience is, you can create a lookalike audience by uploading your email list, for example, to Facebook. And Facebook will create a totally new audience of brand new people that is similar to that audience. So the targeting is pretty much done for you. You can just use that audience to target new people. So we started targeting new people by using lookalike audiences and by showing them ads for our webinar. And when we show them our ads for a webinar, they attended the webinar. And then on the webinar, we pitched them our product. A lot of them signed up for the product, but those people who haven't signed up, we retargeted again with ads and reinforced their decision, trying to make them purchase. And those ads were incredibly successful, and we were able to scale our operations, and we are still scaling it by targeting new people, targeting new lookalike audiences. But as I said before, we turn things around by just communicating value through a lead magnet that was a webinar, and then we tried to promote our product within the webinar, and then we targeted people who haven't purchased and reinforced their decision towards a purchase.
Sounds like a fantastic story. I would love to ask you, for Twitter, if you don't mention those automatic ways of following people and favoriting stuff, what is the best way to do outreach? What is the best way to reach out to new people that are not in your circles?
So I had a strategy. I don't use that strategy anymore because I don't have the time. But when I started out, I was battling with the same issue. So I was trying to grow my Twitter audience. I was trying to get more people to follow me and to get more people to communicate with. But I wasn't sure what to do. And after all, I live in Europe, so I don't have any people from the US to communicate with. But I wanted to work with international clients, and I wanted to do that outreach that you're mentioning. So what I did as a next step was to implement Twitter search into my strategy. And how that worked is that every day I went on search.twitter.com and searched for specific keywords. So the keywords that I searched for is, I need social media help, or social media help, or Facebook ads help. And I searched for people that were genuinely looking for help with social media or with Facebook ads or anything that I can basically help with. And then I just jumped into the conversation. So if they didn't know what kind of Facebook advertising campaign to create, if they were struggling with the targeting or whatsoever, I just jumped into their conversation and helped them out. And I didn't help them out by linking to my blog post and trying to discreetly promote myself, but I genuinely wrote down the solution without linking to anything. And that was my outreach plan, and it worked like magic because I was able to get more followers. I was able to get the exposure that I was looking for, and I was able to even get a couple of clients. So that was my first outreach technique, and it worked like magic. And I'm pretty sure that it would still work today if I had the time to do it. But anyone that is struggling with getting new followers and getting new genuine people to communicate with on Twitter, that's definitely a strategy I would recommend.
That's a great recipe. So Moitza, as we are wrapping today's episode, where can people find you online? I'd love to mention your book about Facebook ads, and what else do you have to offer people?
So they can find me on superspicymedia.com. I have a great resource of social media blog posts about Facebook ads, about Twitter, about Instagram, whatever. So they are able to find a couple of great resources there. They can also reach out to me on Twitter.
Oh, really? You're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. So I'm always happy to answer any questions there. They are able to find me at Moitza Mars, or if they have more detailed questions or if they need help with anything, they can also reach out to me on my email, which is moitza@superspicymedia.com.
Sounds great. Moitza, thank you so, so much for sharing your wisdom today. I hope that will lead to, you know, meaningful, personal, and super popular accounts of our listeners. And I wish everyone good luck in promoting social media. And Moitza, thanks once again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day.